The Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 21 to 35. It can be found on page 1028. Luke 2, 21 to 35, page 1028. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you. Shall I begin with a prayer? Heavenly Father, as we thought earlier, we thank you that the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that the truths we see in your word about him now are still true today. And please help us see how those truths change our lives. Amen. So how has 2019 been for you? I imagine some of us have had brilliant years, others of us have had very, very hard years. But this time of year is between kind of Christmas and New Year is often a time when we pause and we take stock. We reflect on what's already happened and we look forward to what will come next year. It's a time, isn't it, where many people make resolutions. They're kind of thinking about themselves and their life, and they kind of say, well, what do I want to be different in 2020 about myself or about my life from what was the case in 2019? And actually, those New Year's resolutions that people make, They're really interesting. They reveal something about what that person thinks is important in life. Reveal something what they think matters. Now, of course, lots of people make some pretty mundane resolutions, don't they? Things about getting more exercise or losing some weight or changing their diet, those sorts of things. They're the sort of resolutions that we're quite happy to tell other people about. But if you're anything like me, you also have those more private resolutions. Ones that you don't go telling other people about, but as you look at your own life, you kind of think there are things that need to change here. There are habits that need to be kicked. Now, I might not share them with everyone, but as we recognise what needs to change, as we reflect, it does show what we think really matters. And actually, if you kind of get beyond New Year's resolutions to kind of slightly bigger things, I don't know, maybe life goals or career goals or bucket lists, then you really do start to see what people think is important. Just to think about bucket lists, if you're not familiar with that term, a bucket list is a list of things that you want to achieve or to do before you proverbially kick the bucket. I did some research this week. I went to bucketlist.com. If you go to bucketlist.com, you can find a list of the most popular items that people put on their bucket list. Here it is coming up on the screen. So people want to swim with dolphins, learn a language, go on a cruise, see the Northern Lights, go skydiving or bungee jumping, visit a volcano or the Niagara Falls. They want to get married and they want to ride in a hot air balloon. I don't know how you feel like you're doing in life. I think I get to 3 out of 10, but I only remember 2, so I don't know whether that counts or not. But it's striking as you look at that list, isn't it? Because it's full of things that people want to do or places that people want to visit. And it's revealing. It shows that for many, many people in our world, that's what life is about. For many people, a full life, a good life, is a life that is absolutely rammed full of experiences, of things like those. Now, perhaps for us in this room, these aren't the sort of things that are on our bucket list. But there are things that we think, that's what's going to make my life worth living, or that's what's going to satisfy me. So whether that's seeing the family grow up happy and healthy, whether it's accumulating more things or reaching a certain stage in a career, perhaps getting married or having children, we think those sorts of things, those significant things, we think they're going to make our life complete. But actually, living for these sorts of things, whether it's the more family stuff, the career stuff, or these kind of experiences, none of them will ever satisfy. Because truly, there is more to be done in this world than can ever be done in one lifetime. And so if you measure your life by how many experiences you've managed to jam into your 70 or 80 years, you will always end up on your deathbed thinking, there's that thing that I never got to do. There's that place that I never visited. And I guess on the more career-oriented side of things, it's a cliche, but it's true. Nobody lies on their deathbed, do they, and say, oh, I wish I'd spent more time in the office. You see, we know already instinctively that so many of the things that kind of dominate our time and our effort in life, they're not actually what life is about. They do not satisfy. But here's the good news. There is something that really will make your life complete, and there is a way to guarantee dying happy and satisfied. And we see it in this passage because Simeon, he gets it. That's what he can sing actually in verse 29. Now let your servant depart in peace. He says, look, I can die happy now, Lord. I can die happy. And the reason he says that is verse 30. He has seen the Lord's salvation. And so today we are going to learn from Simeon. And Simeon, he has a bucket list of his own. His has 2 items on it. And actually every single one of us here ought to have some version of these 2 items on whatever lists we're making for 2020. So here's Simeon's 2 items on his bucket list. 1, see the Christ. 2, enjoy the Christ. And that's how we're going to kind of look at this passage in a bit more detail now. So firstly, seeing the Christ. It's really striking, this passage, actually. We're seeing more and more of this kind of infant Jesus. And some of the things that are said about him, they're truly remarkable. Actually, one of the most remarkable things is that in a passage of this length in the New Testament, it's all positive. That's pretty rare, isn't it, to kind of get through this many verses without something negative happening or somebody negative turning up. But everyone's doing everything absolutely right. So you have the faithful parents circumcising him, giving him the name that the angel announced before he was even conceived. You have the right sacrifices being given at the right time. And then you have these two wonderful older people, Simeon and Anna. Look how Simeon's described in verse 25. He's faithful and devout. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then down in verse 37, you've got Anna, who never leaves the temple, who's there night and day worshipping God. She fasts and she prays. I don't know if you noticed it as we had it read, but this passage, it's all very, very Jewish, isn't it? We're in the temple. We're speaking about Israel and Jerusalem. The law of the Lord is mentioned 5 times. And what Luke is doing here, he's showing us something really important about Jesus. He's reminding us that Jesus, he is the Jewish Messiah. He's circumcised on the 8th day. And then after that period of purification, about 40 days, he's dedicated to the Lord in verse 23. Dedicated to the Lord. And verse 23, he's the consolation of Israel. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Saviour that was promised to God's people. He doesn't appear out of nowhere. He has come as the fulfillment of all the hopes and all the promises that God had laid out to his people throughout the Old Testament. And in Simeon and in Anna, in Mary and in Joseph, we are being shown Israel at its best in many ways. Here we have faithful, obedient, and in many ways quite ordinary people who find in this baby, in this 6-week-old child, the fulfillment of all their hopes. And most remarkable of all, you know, Simeon takes this child in his arms. As he begins to sing, do you see what he says? He says that to look at this child is actually to see the Lord's salvation. Think about that. He's got a baby in his hands and he says, I have seen God's saving work, as he looks at this 6-week-old baby. And he has wonderful clarity actually on what that means, because he recognizes that, yes, verse 32, this baby, he is the glory of the nation of Israel. He is the fulfillment of all of those hopes of the Old Testament. But more than that, at the beginning of that verse, he sees that this baby is a light for the Gentiles, for the nations. See, here is the Saviour, not for one group of people, but for the whole world. He is such incredible good news. You see, we started off, didn't we, talking about bucket lists. And the reason that we need a bucket list is because we don't live forever. We die. And actually, the fact that we all die, that's why Christmas matters. Because this world is broken by sin, because life is not as it should be, because we are mortal. And things like sickness exist. That is why we needed a saviour. That is why we needed the Christ to come. And as the Lord Jesus appears, he comes as that rescuer. He comes as the one with the solution to death. He comes as the one with power over all illness and disease. He comes and he brings hope and light into a dark world. And Simeon realizes this. And Simeon realizes that to look at the face of this 6-week-old baby is to see salvation itself. He sees his little boy and he knows that it's true. Which, if you were here last week, you'll remember with Mary. Again, these songs, these things that people say about this infant, they feel a bit premature, don't they? Like, how can Simeon really die content and secure that he has seen the Lord's salvation when all he has seen is a baby? He hasn't seen Jesus grow up and live a perfect life, perform any miracles, teach anything. He certainly hasn't seen Jesus ultimately die and rise again for the sins of mankind. None of that has happened, and yet Simeon, led by the Holy Spirit, he sees clearly. He sees clearly that all the hopes and all the fears of all the years are truly met in this little child of Bethlehem. And so here's my question for you here this morning. Have you seen this Christ? Do you realise how truly wonderful Jesus is? Or perhaps better for many of us, how clearly do you see the Christ? See, for some of us here this morning, probably actually, you've never really had the chance or the desire to look into things of Christianity all that much. And I'm sure there are lots of questions that you might like to ask if you had the chance. But actually, let me tell you this. This is the question that you really need to ask. How good actually is Jesus? How good is he? Can I really trust him with my whole life? If I'm going to change my whole focus of life in 2020, if I'm going to stop living as if holidays or exam results or my career and the kids are the most important things, if I'm going to make Jesus number one instead, well, actually, he better be worth it, hadn't he? He better actually be the salvation of God. And Simeon, I guess in one sense, he had an advantage, didn't he? He could literally see this baby, this Christ. But can I invite you, if you haven't before, do take a really close look at this Jesus. Examine his life and see what you make of him. I know as I kind of look around here, we've got a number of visitors here, but if you are local to Maidenhead, we've got a group starting in 3 weeks' time, looking at the life of Jesus. If you've never gone on a course like that, it'd be a wonderful thing to do. And if you are visiting us, there are things going on all over the place. Do come and chat to me afterwards and give me an email address. It'd be lovely to look at what's going on nearer to where you live. But actually, I imagine for most of us, seeing the Christ in 2020, it's not going to be learning brand new things. Many of us have been around church and looked at the Bible for a number of years now. Actually, it's going to be more a matter of shifting our priorities. And the question for us is he really worth being number one above all those other things in life? You see, for some of us, we know the right answers. We understand the Bible. And we read what Simeon says about him. We go, yes, Simeon, you've got everything right. But I imagine that for lots of us, perhaps we don't have quite the same excitement as this old man. Which is the second thing that we need to learn from him. Secondly, enjoy the Christ. Just picture the scene again. So you're Mary and Joseph. You brought your precious little child to dedicate him to the Lord and to offer the sacrifice. So you've gone into the temple, and then you're minding your own business, and across temple courts comes this old guy, and he is making a beeline directly for you. Perhaps you're slightly concerned to begin with, but then it gets worse because he grabs him, your child, out of your hands, and he starts to sing. Now, if they had any concerns about what this elderly baby snatcher was doing, then Luke hasn't recorded it for us. But what he does record, actually, is not just what Simeon says. He could have written down a list, couldn't he? But he doesn't. He sings. And actually, there aren't all that many times in the New Testament where you find people spontaneously bursting into song. And so when people do, it's worth taking note. Because that singing is an expression of the joy and the passion and the excitement that this old man Simeon has as he sees this baby. He is praising God because he has seen with his eyes the salvation that God had promised. He has seen the glory of Israel, and therefore he is just overflowing with joy. Now, as I said, I don't know about you, but my reaction to Jesus, that's not always where it is. I mean, sometimes, yeah, I'm excited about Jesus, but I'm not always as excited as Simeon is here. And look, if you're here this morning and you feel like your love for the Lord Jesus has grown cold over the last year, 5 years, decade, can I encourage you? Do take the time to read one of the Gospels again. One of the accounts of Jesus' life. We've got some copies at the back if you don't have one. Because as you stop, as you look at the Lord Jesus, that is the centre of it. We need to see the Christ clearly before we can enjoy the Christ. And that's where a true heart that's actually excited about the Lord comes from. It comes from understanding how good he really, really is. You see, what we we don't need to do is to come to church and try to kind of whisk up in ourselves a bunch of emotions that we're not feeling. We don't have to come here and try and sing louder or put our arms in the air to make us feel excited when we don't. No. What we need is a clear vision of the Lord Jesus, and as we see him more clearly, that will lead us to those feelings of passion and excitement. Because actually, wonderfully, unlike Simeon, we don't have to just look at a six-week-old baby and trust that he will be the one who one day fulfills all the promises. No, we can look back and see how in every single way he really did live up to everything that this old man Simeon spoke about him and more. And actually, it's worth just pointing out at this point that none of this is a human thing. All of this is a work of the Spirit. Did you notice how many times the Spirit is mentioned as we're kind of introduced to Simeon? He's one who's filled with the Spirit. The Spirit is the one at work giving him the words to say. It is the Spirit who both reveals truth about the Christ. He helps to see the Christ, but also leads us in our emotional response to him. He helps us to enjoy the Christ as well. You see, we don't have to try and come here and make ourselves feel something we don't feel. Far better to pray and ask for the Spirit to show you the Lord Jesus more clearly. And those feelings and emotions will follow as we see how truly wonderful he is. But look, as we come to a close, if you're convinced you truly do want to make the Lord Jesus a priority in 2020, if you want to make growing your faith a priority for next year, well, let me give you some ideas of what that might look like. Firstly, one thing that it will look like, for sure, is making church a priority. Church ought to be the first thing in our diary and the last thing to move for something else. Because we know that as we come here, this is where we're going to be shown more and more of the Lord Jesus. This is where we will see the Christ. As we gather with fellow believers and as we sing, this is where we come to enjoy the Christ together. Look, it will mean that if you have children, you want your kids involved in the groups both on a Sunday and midweek, and you're going to make sure they get here because you want to give them every opportunity to clearly see the Christ for themselves. It means that whatever is going on your New Year's resolution list this year, the first thing on that list ought to be something about your faith. Now, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like for each of us. We're all at different stages in our walk with the Lord, but none of us is doing it perfectly, are we? So whether it is joining a group for the first time at church, or finding a way to serve, reading your Bible more, praying more consistently, having that courage to go and speak to that neighbour or that colleague at work, whatever it looks like for you, do take the time to find something to put on that New Year's resolution list. And as we kind of finish, I don't want to put too fine a point on this. I mean, as I look around, I make an observation that some of you here are of a more similar age to Simeon and Anna than I am. And if that is you, can I encourage you? Wouldn't you love to have half the passion that Simeon does about what the Lord is doing? He's right at the end of the race. The finish line is in sight, but he is sprinting to get there. He is excited, not only to see the Christ, but he's excited about what God is doing in the world as well. He's passionate about God's great plan of the salvation, that he's going to go to all the nations. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be known as a church that is full of Simeons and Annas, who are still, in their later years, so excited about God and his work. Many of you are already, I know that. It's a real privilege to be a younger person working this staff team and able to look up to godly examples, because younger folk like me, we need older folk like you to show us what it looks like to hold faithfully to Christ in our 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. So if that's you, please do keep going. Because I hope you know, if the Lord is kind enough and lets me grow old like some of these heroes here in the Bible, I hope people won't be saying, oh, he used to be keen. He used to be excited about what God was doing in the world. No, I hope they'll say, he has seen God's salvation and he's still singing about it. Actually, that's my hope and my prayer for all of us, that people will look at us and they will say, they have seen God's salvation and they're still singing about it. They have seen the Christ. They are still enjoying the Christ. And that is my prayer for us as individuals and as a church for 2020. The next year will be a year where we grow, where we see the Lord and his salvation more clearly, and actually where we enjoy following the Lord Jesus. We enjoy the Christ more than we ever have before. Let me pray that for us now. Heavenly Father, how we long that in the coming years we will grow. Please do that in us as individuals and as this church here at St. Mary's. Please, would you help us to see the Lord Jesus, to see the salvation that you have brought all the more clearly. And as we see him more clearly, please would you bring with that deep, deep joy. Amen.